Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, guys, here we go. It is the post All-Star break edition of the Ryan and Goodman Tangling Along for the Ride podcast. We got a lot to get to. We are going to touch on Juwan Howard and that whole fiasco. And will Bronny play with Braun? And what's going to happen with Harden in Philly and, you know, Simmons with the Nets coming up this Friday? That's all coming up on the show. But we don't see a lot of punches thrown in basketball games. I mean, I think about Kermit Washington, you know, that always comes to mind. But generally, there's a lot of bravado and no action. Unfortunately, we saw that, Jeff. We'll start with you. This is your beat with Michigan. And Juwan Howard, who has just been, to me, such a great asset for the college game. I mean, this NBA guy who played like forever in the NBA, he's a member of the Fab Five. I think he just represents Michigan so well. He's been so great. And then I was just flabbergasted, you know, when he punches the assistant coach of Wisconsin, he's going to get 5 games and $40,000, which I think is peanuts. I think the 5 games is a joke. I think he should be gone for like a year. I don't know how you feel.
You know, I can't wait to hear Bob's take on this because he's obviously been covering the game a lot longer than either of us, but I've never seen this. I've covered AU basketball for 20 plus years. I've covered college for 20 plus years. I've covered NBA plenty. I have never seen a coach strike another coach like this. Now, was it a punch? I guess the kids these days call it a mush, the way he hit him, because it was kind of open-handed and he kind of almost like clawed him or tried to claw him, but whatever it was, he struck him. And to me, I think you're right, Gary. I think you could easily justify suspending Juwan Howard for the rest of the season, not 5 games for the regular season, but Big Ten tournament. If they make the NCAA tournament, which right now they're right on the bubble. But again, you don't do that. And too many people to me were trying to make excuses for why he did it, right? They were trying to say Greg Gard, you know, put hands on him. Greg Gard didn't put hands on him. He tried to stop him in the handshake line. And Gard was trying to obviously explain himself. What else was he? He could have said, hey, I'll call you later. That would have been the best way to do it. I'll call you later. But he didn't. He tried to stop him. He didn't put hands on him. And even if he did, Juwan Howard could have decked Greg Gard. I mean, Bob Ryan is more intimidating right now than Greg Gard.
It was a complete and utter overreaction. There's no question. The consensus prediction was the rest of the season, regular. And it's very interesting. It sounds like a lot, except we only got 5 games left. You know, this would have been interesting to know what would have been the adjudication if it were January 8th, you know, as opposed to February 21st when this happened, or 20th when it happened. Okay. I am exasperated and overall by the pettiness here. First of all, he shouldn't have been pressing to start with. Okay. Ridiculous. But that's okay. Shouldn't have been pressing. And then the guards, give me this coach speak BS about protecting the walk-ons in the last 15 seconds to get the ball up and not stop.
Just turn it over. Who cares if you turn the ball over at that point? It's irrelevant.
Stop it, Greg. That's coach BS. I don't want to hear that. Okay. But that doesn't excuse what Howard did. Now, one of the issues here, which I don't know how much was taken into consideration by the Big Ten, is that he's a recidivist. And the incident that happened last year in the Big Ten tournament with Mark Turgeon. I don't know how much they took that in, but that should be considered. And this is serious.
I don't think it was, Bob. I don't think that had any bearing on the penalty here. I think the penalty was based on this incident unto itself.
Wow. Well, I think it should have been taken into consideration.
Well, then to me, he should have gotten the Big Ten tournament.
Let's face it. Look, Juwan Howard is very important to NCAA basketball. I mean, if you're a casual college basketball fan and you see Juwan Howard coaching, it's like, oh, okay, I know that guy. When Michigan's playing great hoop, it's good for business.
Sure.
When they've got a name, it's good for business. I mean, Krzyzewski's leaving, right? All these guys, they're all leaving, you know.
Well, Juwan, here's the thing, Gary. I did a story on this 10 days ago. I don't know if Bob, you saw this, but I went through if you haven't, you need to, because it'd be interesting for you to read more than anybody. I went through all the current coaches, college head coaches, and probably 25 or so formers, most of them in the last 10 years or so. But I included like Clyde Drexler. Every coach who's played over 200 NBA games. So Tony Bennett only played 150 NBA games. Mark Pope only played 150. They don't qualify. To me, it's more of the guys who actually made a living playing the game in the NBA. And Juwan Howard was the highest. I gave him all grades. He was the highest graded active coach. I gave him a B+, and I thought that was a little generous. So I guess what I'm trying to say, Gary, is he's one of the few guys, especially who made $100 million playing, because we go through Chris Mullin, failed. Patrick Ewing, failing. Even like Fred Hoiberg, didn't play a ton in the NBA. Fred Hoiberg 2.0 right now at Nebraska, failing. Clyde Drexler was an utter embarrassment. Isaiah Thomas at FIU, an utter embarrassment. You can go down the line. I'm going to give... Bob, did you read the story or no?
No, I need to see it. I'm anxious.
All right, I'm going to send it to you, but here, and this is going to surprise you, and it surprised me a little bit. Here's the trivia question for you. Right. Of guys who coached in the last 10, 20 years, the formers, what college coach who played over 200 NBA games got the highest grade from me? Right. Not current, former.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, this is going to watch Bob's reaction on this, Gary. Al Skinner.
Ha! Wow. That's fabulous.
Did you know he played over 300 NBA games?
No, I wouldn't have known what number to put on, but I'm not surprised to hear that. He was around for quite a while as a net, particularly.
And he went to listen. You and I wrote at the end, and we got a lot of crap for it. It was you and I against the world. Right. I don't want to revisit history, but we both said it was time for the Al Skinner era to end. I still believe that, and I think Bob does too. They've made the wrong hires since, but it doesn't mean that parting ways with Al Skinner at that point in time was the wrong move. But Al Skinner did a hell of a job early in his tenure at Boston College. He was terrific.
If Juwan Howard isn't Juwan Howard, does he get a more severe penalty?
Well, yes. If he was a coach that wasn't winning at a high level, that didn't play for his school, in my opinion, you'd have a third of the coaches right now. If they had done the same thing Juwan Howard did, they would be fired today. How's that? Right. That's what I would say. A third of the coaches in American college basketball, Division I head coaches. Now, again, a bunch of them would be guys that were losing, and they could justify with cause firing them for this incident. But again, Juwan Howard played at Michigan and has fared well at Michigan as a coach.
Oh, not only does he play at Michigan, he's part of the most, fabled group ever, and we all know. Okay, no, he's gone. That's a great question. The answer, I have to believe that what you said is true. No, he's not just than any other guy, and we understand that. But, it's funny, guys. I was, just as an aside, I was watching the game until the 15 seconds. And I said, it's over. Yes. Let's see how Providence's bid to come back at Butler.
You flipped it.
At that moment, I flipped it. And sure enough, I hit the jackpot watching Providence pull it out.
No. I hit the jackpot because what I saw, I then took the video of, and I put that video up. I don't know if you saw it. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people viewed that video? The last I checked, it was at 11 million people that had watched that 30-second clip of Juwan Howard striking Joe Krabbenhoff. All right.
Well, I was one of them.
So anyway, I find out about it. So now I missed it in real time. But I find out about it very quickly.
Yep.
Whether it was Twitter or whatever, I don't know. And I then, you know, I jumped into it to find out about it. But I didn't see it live, even though I had been watching the game. But as just at that moment, you know, the 15-second thing, and I said, well, this game's over, and let's go see how PC's doing now, because I knew they had been by 19, and they pulled out the game at Butler. But
have you ever seen anything like this in all your years?
No. I wasn't present when Red Auerbach punched Ben Koerner in 1957 during the finals. I regrettably know. You know, seriously.
Well, I mean, it's just Kermit Washington and Tommy John and Tom Donovan.
We're talking about coaches here.
Right, no, players so different.
I'm talking about just punching. I mean,
no, we're talking about coaches. Punches we've seen. Yeah. Oh, I've seen punches. Dave Cowens had a Ring magazine record.
Did he?
Oh my God, he had at least four or five punches thrown.
But coach at any level, I've covered AU basketball where you think that would be like a commonplace thing. It doesn't even happen in shitty AU basketball. This stuff isn't happening. Now, parents, yes, I've seen it in crowds with parents throwing haymakers at each other, but never coaches, ever coaches throwing, you know, again, whether it's a punch, a slap, a mush, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Yeah, now, by the way, when you look at that, it looked like it started out with a closed fist. He opened it up.
Yeah.
But at the end, it's fisted after the fact. You have to see this thing twice or more to figure out exactly what happened. And it didn't. He did not
hit him struck. With a closed fist.
What he said to him, right?
No, we don't. We know Juwan said, I'll remember that. He said, I'll remember that. And Greg Gard tried to explain it away. And Gard, how are you, Bob, with Gard? Gard got a $10,000 fine. Joe Krabbenhoff got nothing. And the players all that threw punches got a game suspension. How are you with all that
stuff? I don't know what Joe Krabbenhoff, why he's even singled out by Juwan Howard. Did he say something to him? I have no
idea. He ran up and this is the problem. People say, well, he put hands on him. Well, Krabbenhoff put his hand on Terrence Williams, a Michigan player who was kind of next to him. And again, like, put hands on him, like, define put hands on him. It's very different when you're literally just putting your hand on a guy to try to calm him down.
Particularly enough, and anything that's going to, it's that kind of a melee, or not melee, but that kind of a circumstance, you know, if some people are trying to keep people away, that's nonsense. To answer the question, Wisconsin has answered already by saying, we are looking at this as a Wisconsin fine, not a Greg Gard fine. And it's not coming out of his pocket. The 10 grand is coming out of the university, not out of his pocket.
He didn't do anything egregious by any means.
No, he wanted, you know, they did a stupid thing of, you know, he wanted to explain. There's no question. The whole point for him. It's also been pointed out to me that Howard waited till the end of the line, usually instead of the coaches. He was looking for trouble. He was looking.
He was looking to assert himself.
I'll put it that way. I don't want to go be misquoted here or taken out of context. I'll withdraw that statement. He's looking for trouble. He was looking to assert himself and make a statement of some kind. That is clear. And it's complete overreaction to the whole thing. And everybody's part. He should never have been pressing. Guard should just walk. Stop talking about protecting the poor walk-ons. They're like 5-year-old kids or something. Come on, Greg.
Yep.
That doesn't watch with me.
They should just be happy to be on the floor.
God almighty. So, yeah, that's nonsense. What can I say? Well, by the way, did you notice who – I know Jeff knows. Do you know who is coaching now? Who's the head coach of – the acting coach of the Wolverines?
Phil Martelli.
Phil Martelli has been his aide de camp, his associate head coach for the 3 years.
Yeah,
Phil Martelli will be back in the saddle for these final five games. I mean,
maybe he can get them. I mean, the other part we haven't talked about, I know we want to move on. We've got other things. But the other part is the impact that this is potentially going to cost these kids with an opportunity taking away, like Hunter Dickinson has had a hell of a year as a big man for Michigan, a sophomore. And now you lose your head coach. Now, again, luckily they got Martelli, but you're losing your head coach. You're losing your best freshman for a game in a stretch in which Michigan needs to win games in order to get into the NCAA tournament. So you've not only embarrassed your school, and college basketball at a time when college basketball finally has the limelight on it, but you're also potentially going to cost these kids an opportunity to do the thing they want to do, which is get into the NCAA.
Well, I think losing the kids more important because they do have Phil Martelli. They have an experienced coach of over 700 games or, yep. or wins or whatever, not wins, but games, I guess. So come on. I don't think that's going to be a big deal. They've got an established coach yep. to step right in, who's been there every day with them. So all however long any of those kids have been there, Martelli's been there longer. So yep. he's been there for all of them. I don't think it's good, but that part's a big deal. I don't. I think.
All right, moving on to our next topic. LeBron James has said, and we've heard this before, that he would love to play with LeBron James Jr., Bronny. He would love to play with Bronny. And, you know, we mentioned the Griffies, you know, Ken Sr. and Jr. They
were the house.
In baseball. But the question I have, because I had to look it up, I mean, Bronny is – like the 34th ranked prospect in his class.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And he's a 4-star. Jeff, you can explain that. But I mean, LeBron, I don't think your kid's going to make it to the NBA, is he?
Well, he may make it there, but he's not a one and done, in my opinion. He may be a 4-year player. So for LeBron to put the pressure on him, so LeBron turns 38 in December. So basically, virtually for next season, which Bronny James will be a senior in high school next season, LeBron James will be 38 years old. So then Bronny has to do one more year because the rule won't change by then. So he's got to do at least one. Let's say he's a one and done and he goes to G League Ignite or he goes to college for a year or whatever. He comes in. If he does one and done, he's coming into the league in 2 years when LeBron is 39 years old. Okay, that's 2 years. I don't think he's a one-and-done player. I really believe he's a 4-year college player. So let's say, even for argument's sake, he's 2-and-done. All right, which, he's a nice player. Like you said, Gary, I've seen him play multiple times. This past summer, he's a nice player. He is not a guy who's going to set the world on fire. He's a top 50-ish player. Actually, he's probably closer to 50 to 100. Can he get better? Absolutely. He's got good feel for the game, does all the little things. But again, he's not LeBron. He's not 6'8", you know, he can't impose his will. He's not an elite passer. He's not an elite athlete, any of that. So you're talking 41 years old. If Bronny ever makes it, like, don't set the why say this about your son? Don't put the pressure on him. He's already got a lot of pressure.
How big is he, by the way?
He's like 6'4", I think, is probably what I kind of remember him being.
He's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4".
Right. Maybe 6'4". Maybe, you know, probably grow a little bit more. So he'll probably be 6'4". And again, he should go to college and enjoy college. And LeBron, of all people, not to understand, like, he's always so smart and methodical and how he talks. I can't believe he didn't think this one through, saying like, hey, listen, I would love to, I didn't see the quote, but maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, but all he needed to say was, listen, it would be awesome if I could ever get a chance to play with my son. I'd like to stick around as long as I can. Maybe, God willing, you know, Bronny's ready to go to the NBA after a couple of years, but I don't know.
He wouldn't be the first parent, I can assure you, as someone right. who has covered his share of high schools in yeah. the old days, you wouldn't be the first parent to overestimate the skill level of his or her offspring. Okay.
We saw Doc do it. We saw Doc Rivers do it.
He did.
And I was shocked. I mean, yeah. you know,
realistic. They're realistic about everything else, but listen, none of us are with our kids. How many of us are realistic with our kids and their abilities? And, you know, we think we are with shortcomings, but I don't think LeBron's any different.
No, I'm saying he's showing this humanity there.
Right.
This is every man speaking, perhaps. And yeah, we all say he should know better, but I've met other parents who should have known better too, yeah. including coaches, you know, who especially coaches, frankly. So this is, I don't know if we just put it in that category or not. But it is unfair to the young man. To, you know, he's got enough, I should say, problems in life.
A lot of pressure. I mean, listen, I remember a couple of years ago on two courts at an AU tournament. This is when Imani Bates was the number one player and on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's on one court and there might have been 200 people. On the next court is Bronny James, who again is, you know, a top 50-ish player. And he's got a full house. You cannot absolutely, you can't even get in standing room only. It's shut down. So the kid on Instagram, if you look at it, like his social media following is out of control. So, there's a lot of pressure on this kid. Why put any more pressure on him if you're LeBron James?
Yeah, well, that's it turns out to be a rhetorical question.
Right.
He did it. It's done. And now, you know, We're talking about it.
We shouldn't be talking about this.
How about this, though? But if LeBron gets his way, maybe Presti will be the GM and he can draft Bronny.
That's right.
How's that for a segue, Jeff? How about that?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You're absolutely right. I mean, this praise that he threw on to Oklahoma City general manager and Emerson graduate Sam Presti was like baffling to me because my daughter could have drafted Kevin Durant at number two. Now, he did a good job with Westbrook. He did. He took Westbrook. Harden. I'll give him some credit for drafting Harden. But this franchise is a mess right now. They stink. They got a million picks, a bunch of young players. The kid from Australia has been good. But again, numbers on crappy teams, I don't give a lot of credence to it. So this love fest for Sam Presti is baffling to me, except the fact that we know what it is, right, Bob? It's just a shot at Rob Pelinka.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And talk about disingenuous. I mean, to say the least, I mean, since we all kind of know who wanted various moves made on that team,
right?
Including one whose name has already been mentioned, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And, you know, come on, LeBron. You know, he's trying to have it both ways here, pretending that he wasn't the orchestrator or the high-level court of last resort approval guy on this. You know, come on, stop it, LeBron. So this is really disingenuous. It's unbecoming. I mean, he's such a contradiction sometimes. He's going about his life a lot of ways very well. I still love his game. I will always love his game. But, God, he
can't have it both ways.
He wants to be so many things. He wants to wear so many hats, you know, on and off the court. And, you know, and in the middle of all, he's having individually a wonderful year.
Yeah, you know, but he also, I think it's, you know, mortality maybe sinking in when you mentioned about wanting to play with his son. He's, you know, he's approaching 40. How much longer is he going to?
He looks around
at the other teams, right? Okay, so this is supposed to, he's pissed because Anthony Davis was supposed to be the guy that gets him to their next championship, right? So he'll have a championship with Cleveland, have a cup with Miami, and then he wins with the Lakers. Okay, well, I think we've all agreed. Doesn't look like he's going to get one with the Lakers.
No.
You know, so who's he going to blame? He's got to blame the GM.
Yeah, and you are the GM. Ultimately, nothing is happening without you. Everybody knows that. You know, again, supposedly LeBron was on board with the lack of moves that were made. But, you know, ultimately, listen, you know, it's on, you know, Rich Paul was the one who orchestrated everything to get Anthony Davis out there with LeBron. That's who he partnered with. Anthony Davis, we knew, was injury prone prior.
Right.
And it's backfired a little bit. It's backfiring the last couple of years here.
Yeah. Anthony Davis is the saga of Anthony Davis continues.
You know, sucks because he's a great kid.
Right. You just keep waiting. And when's it going to happen again? You know, and now we have another one of significance to happen this weekend. That when's it going to happen again category, which of course is Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Whose bid for that elusive ring has been, you know,
it's always hurt when it matters, Bob.
Well, yeah,
there's always something with Chris Paul when it matters. And you just wonder if this is going to hold, because Phoenix has a chance. I mean, they've got as good a chance as anybody if they're healthy. And now without Chris Paul,
they're 48 and 10 as we speak. They've got
amazing.
A healthy distance in the West. I'm over everybody, but it's too bad because Paul, I still maintain, in the contemporary game is still the gold standard of what a point guard
should be.
Yeah. And how to go about the task of the job of being a point guard. He's the model right now. He's the walking, breathing model, except he's not able to play now for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Now a lot of pressure on Cameron Payne, who played well last year at times, but boy, this is asking a lot now. Now, do you subscribe to any theory that says that somehow or other Booker has to alter his game, or does he just go back doing what he does? Right.
I don't think it matters if you get Chris Paul back 2 weeks before the end of the regular season. Somehow, you're fine, and he's healthy. Like, it can only actually help him because campaign has a chance to kind of get his swagger back a little bit more, get more reps. You're actually getting I don't know if healthier is the word, but kind of with Chris Paul, right? I mean, he's older. His legs should be certainly better.
We're talking about a thumb. We're not talking about a limb. I mean, a knee, an ankle, a shoulder.
Yeah.
A thumb. And presumably the thumb will heal and it'll be functional. It'll be fine. And exactly. I mean, I think that's a reasonable assumption. It's not going to be an injury. That's going to, once it's done. And that's the end of the story, I would think, unless I'm missing something here.
Yeah. No, I think that's accurate.
Yeah, so that's the only good news involved with this story, since we know that, what matters will take place in April and May.
Speaking of point guards, coming up this Friday, we have the swapping of the point guards. The Celtics will be taking on the Nets, and their new guy, Simmons, is going to make his debut. And then James Harden plays for Philly. I'm going to say this right now. I'm going out on a limb. Tanguay has a take, okay? I think Philadelphia is going to roll. I think Harden, we all know if he puts down, if he takes care of himself and stays healthy and tries to eat right and so forth. But I think he and Embiid, man, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm worried. Those two could, because look what Embiid's doing alone. I mean, I think Harden and Embiid could get on a roll and look out and be in the finals.
Oh, I think they could be very good. Although I thought they had a very good thing going at the time with the chemistry that the other group had. But this is intriguing. It is definitely intriguing. And I have to say that Harden fooled me last year with the way he altered his game.
He's done it before.
Yeah. And I still don't know where those assists come from. I don't know. That's my thing. But every morning you pick up the box score and it says he had an 8 assist. I don't remember any of them, but that's okay. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. And the whole pick and roll thing, although in Embiid's case, is it more pick and pop than pick and roll? Do you think, Jeff?
It can be whatever you want it to be. But yeah, it can be pick and roll. It can be pick and pop. That's the beauty of having Joel, is he can do whatever. I don't know if the most apt comparison is Hakeem in the post.
Right.
But Embiid can step out and he can shoot the three. Like, this dude, when he's healthy, there's nobody in the game that can stop him.
See, this is the way I look at it, guys. I mean, if Harden decides to play like he did to what Bob was talking about, and this is what I find exciting, because Simmons is going to be a work in progress. You know, the Kyrie curse, I think, has really screwed them up. But if Harden plays the way he did when he first got to the Nets, A, they can beat Milwaukee. And I think they're the only team that can beat Golden State.
I think, listen, the Nets, if you had Kyrie for every game now.
Yeah, but you're not.
I still think Simmons with Kyrie, with KD, now with, Drazic signing with them, after being bought out. They got shooters, right? Like, other than chemistry and Kyrie and all that.
Well, that's it.
I know. I'm with you. All I'm saying is, like, that team, Ben Simmons, could not fit a duo better on the court. Like, if you said, who are the two players you want around Ben Simmons in the league, in the entire league, you would pick Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
I'd pick Durant.
They'll never get Joe Harris back, but that in terms of a shooter. Now they got Seth.
Yep. Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, their pieces fit beautifully together around Ben Simmons. They do. It's exactly what you would want to draw up. But again, it's Kyrie, 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 Kyrie.
Although, then we all want to fast forward. Well, I want to fast forward to the playoffs. Let's say this thing materializes the way you're suggesting that it could. But now we get to the playoffs and we go harking back to what happened in the playoffs last year with him and his allusion to mental health and his allusion. Yep. To, is he going to have flashbacks? Is he going to?
But the ball doesn't have to be in his hands if Kyrie's on the floor.
That's true.
That's the difference.
And,
you can,
and there's no point in him being in the
defensively. In the defensively.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, okay. I mean, he's an elite defender, elite. So if you say, "Hey, we don't need to put the ball in his hands. We're going to put it in Kyrie and KD's hands. You don't have to touch it. You're not going to get fouled here. But we need you to be that elite defender." Well, then
that's a good point,
right? I mean, like he has value. He has value still at the end of the games, playing alongside two of the best offensive players we've ever seen.
All right, just for the heck of it here, Jeff seems to be pro Nets. I'm going to be pro Sixers. We're all talking out of our, you know what?
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. Bob, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I like the Sixer angle. I think they're going to be very interesting. And I just been, you know, jolted a little bit by the by Jeff's assessment of the – no, I mean
– Who knows?
Any idea? Because I'm so – see, my problem, I have to get over this, okay, guys? I'll start where – I have to get over my antipathy for Simmons.
Yeah.
The whole story drives me crazy. I hold it against this gentleman that he has apparently refused to work on his game, to alter his game to where it could and should be with regard to this outside shooting thing. And not just threes, but the whole idea of something other than going to the basket and at 6'10".
Don't you think if there's one person that might, because it's obviously a coach hasn't worked for him. Brett Brown didn't work. Doc didn't work. But what about if KD is the driving force in this of, hey, Ben, we don't give a shit if you miss him. Take the shots. Give him the ball. Pass Ben Simmons the ball and say, shoot the effing ball. Like, KD could do that.
All right. Well, okay. Let's see how that works. Maybe.
Could. I don't know if he will.
Meanwhile.
You know,
they do have a coach, even though Kyrie has in the past suggested it really was a superfluous idea. But they do have a coach who we like, I think, and respect. And let's see what his approach is.
Right.
Let's see if he can unlock the enigma inside the wrapped inside the riddle, you know, and all that. That is Ben Simmons's mind.
Gents, always a pleasure. We got to wrap it up. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, thanks for letting me hang.